Good morning. Welcome to our worship service on this Sunday, September 26th. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is wonderful to see you all this morning and that we are worshiping together today. It seems this past week, and I can feel it in here this morning, that the fall weather seems to be upon us. And though I very much welcome the cooler temperatures, I have to say I'm a bigger fan of fall than summer. I'm still not quite certain how it can already be the last week of September. I was looking at the calendar this morning and noticed that Friday is October 1st, and that was just a very strange thought to me. Time is going by very fast. So we'll start off our time together just drawing our attention to a few announcements. I'll just highlight a few. When we look at the week at a glance, it's a very typical week this week with our kids club and junior youth, senior youth, and then next Sunday with Sunday school. So it is a regular week this week ahead. This upcoming Thursday, September 30th, I just want to take note of that. It is the first national day of truth and reconciliation. As a community of faith, we join together in the lament with our country that has for centuries sought to, for lack of a better word, eliminate Indigenous peoples. And this is a part of our Canadian history that I'm sure we would rather not acknowledge. It is a cause of pain, tremendous pain and hurt for so many, but it is important, very important for us to make this a day of conscious reflection and learning as we do our part to work towards true reconciliation. And in 2 weeks, we will be together celebrating Thanksgiving. And as part of our worship service that morning, we will be sharing in communion. And there is a well-detailed announcement in the bulletin about that, but I will just highlight a few things. So in order to distribute the elements safely, as you enter the sanctuary that morning, you will be offered this. It'll be a little plastic bag, and inside will be the elements in this little fancy container, which I think is so cool. There is both the wafer in the top. I'm sure it's very hard to see from back there, but there's the wafer in the top and the juice in the cup. And so you will receive that when you come in the sanctuary that morning. I did note there was a gluten-free option if that is necessary. And so at the time of communion, we'll be given further instructions on how exactly that works, but there is also more details in the bulletin and a wonderful picture description as well. Did you make that, Randy, that picture? You modified it. Okay, well, it has a great explanation, and it explains how it all works. So I would encourage you to take a look at that so we can be prepared to share communion together this Thanksgiving. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. So we will move into a time of music as we sing together Good, Good Father, led by our worship band.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love. Dead of night, you tell me
thank you for that. That's great. Okay, let us move into a time of prayer. So would you bow with me? Loving God, we come to worship this morning with our own joys and concerns, needs and celebrations. We are grateful that you meet us where we are and that you know our hearts. We turn to you for hope and guidance as we navigate our paths of life. As we journey, help us to remember to meet one another where they are with kindness and compassion, and to be hospitable brothers and sisters in Christ. As we have entered into this new season of autumn, in these past few weeks, we have welcomed a symbolic new beginning, the start of a new school year for both students and teachers, and a new year of programs and meeting for our congregation. We look toward this new season and those that will follow with anticipation and pray for renewed energy for the new experiences that are ahead. This morning, we bring to you the needs of our church family and our community. For those that are hurting due to illness, we ask for your healing. For those that are grieving the loss of a loved one, we ask for your comfort. For those that are in a time of uncertainty and unknown, we pray for your peace. Help us to be a support to those in need, not just in prayer, but in word and in action. We pray for our church council and staff team in this time of transition, as leadership takes time to discern additional pastoral support and our staff continue to address the needs as they arise. We pray that you would give wisdom and grace to those who are navigating through this process. We pray for those working to bring your peace and love to those all around the world. We ask that you would keep them safe under your wing and guide their steps. May they feel you with them in their work. This Thursday, as we recognize the first National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, we honor both the survivors and lost children of residential schools. We look to you, creator of us all, for a path to a future different from the past. Help us to see that reconciliation is not just a faraway goal in the future, but as the work we do each and every day. As we have sang together this morning, you are a good, good Father, and we thank you for the many blessings you have given and continue to give. Guide us this week as we go about our work, sharing your love with others. We pray all of these things in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll continue our time of worship together by singing Oceans.
Waters Good morning. I just want to say it's nice to see so many eyes this morning. Can't see much of the face, but I can recognize the eyes. Scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke 14, verse 1 and 7 to 14, where Jesus speaks at the house of a Pharisee. Verse 1, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Now, verse 7, when he noticed how the guests picked up the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness. Thus the reading of the Lord.
Thank you, Vic. The other week, we had a gathering of a group of seniors, and as we began that time together, I asked the question, during the COVID pandemic, what's one thing you have missed the most? The answers were quick. Very quick. Hugs, singing, fellowship at the church, being out in the community. Person added, I hate being isolated at home. Then there were the other comments, dinner with family, dinner with friends, simply being together with others. The common factor in all those responses relate to the connection and relationship we have with other people. What we have missed the most during the pandemic is no surprise. We are social beings. Even most introvert among us, those personalities, yes, there are a good number, who prefer to be quiet and have time alone. At some point, they share in relationship with others. For months, we have been living in agony and frustration at the isolation, being restricted in our worship, being together as a faith community, and not being able to simply socialize. Responding to the call of Jesus, our relationship with him invites us to be in relationship. We are a Christian community. Our individual faith draws us into relationship with others. Being community is an important expression of the faith. As God promises to be with us, so Jesus calls us to be caring and supportive of others. The call of Jesus invites us to care and share compassion for for others as a means of expressing God's love and God's offer of salvation. The concern for the well-being of others is at the heart of the gospel. So how can we do that when we have to stay apart, at a distance? The past year and a half has been most difficult. It's an understatement, actually. Often, in the gospel stories, however, Jesus does retreat to the hills to be by himself. And oftentimes it's accompanied with the fact that he is praying. And then he returns to spend considerable amount of time with his disciples and with crowds of people and others that he meets along the way. And in doing so, Jesus was often on the receiving end of hospitality of others. In fact, from what we know, during the 3 years of his ministry, Jesus was dependent upon the generosity and the hospitality of others. Vic shared with us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. A Sabbath day. The day when people rest. The day when people eat food. Yeah, as I grew up, the food that was prepared the day before, so that people don't have to work at food preparation. And Jesus was at the house of a prominent Pharisee. Oh no, not just an ordinary Pharisee, a prominent one. And he was invited to share a meal, and yet Jesus was very aware that he was being watched carefully. Jesus said to his host, "You know, the next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends, your family, your rich neighbors. You know, those are the kind of people who you know they're going to return the favor. How about inviting some of the people who never get invited out? How about including some of the misfits, you know, those people from the wrong side of town, those other people?" Jesus was implying that if hospitality, if it's true hospitality, it's a gift shared. And it's also a gift received with no expectation of a return. Jesus had attracted large crowds. They were following him, listening to his every word, which is why his critics were watching carefully to check his motives, looking for that opportunity to publicly criticize him for doing something wrong. It's like an investigative reporter who wants to catch Jesus at something he says or something he does. Ah, yeah, there, see that? And so while Jesus is being watched carefully, he takes issue with the Pharisees' approach to hospitality. You see, it's a common practice to be friendly, generous, expectation of return, maybe a bribe to gain favors from others, or maybe it's simply to impose influence over other people. Story of the early church, the book of Acts. We hear about the growth of the church, that people were drawn into Christian community through care and compassion, stemming from the love of Jesus, the very root of the gospel. And there in the book of Acts, it also tells us of those who made attempts to use those same tactics as a manipulation, using the gospel as a means of coercion and control. Unfortunately, it still happens. Religious leaders are not the only ones who are able to use manipulation. Years ago, I remember receiving a flyer in the mail. The offer a free trip to Florida in the wintertime. Who wants to go? You know, January, February, a free trip, couple of days in Florida. Wouldn't you want to? Free trip came with one condition. Oh, the fine print. To accept the offer, you have to commit one full day to attend a seminar. No problem. But it's by the sponsor, who happens to be a condo developer working on a new project. And then even the smaller print, other conditions do apply. You get the idea. Offering hospitality as a means of manipulation, it's an old tactic. And many people can smile it a mile away. Oh yeah, free trip to Florida? Right. Guess how many of those people who accepted it didn't buy a condo? There are others who are seduced and pay a heavy price. Jesus, during his Sermon on the Mount, he warned his followers against generosity as a means of manipulation. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Keep it anonymous. Keep it separated. An anonymous gift prevents the manipulation of the giver, but it also maintains the dignity of the receiver. It's called keeping donations at arm's length, so as not to benefit the donor, and again, to respect the receiver. And so we wrestle with how to be hospitable, how to share in the lives of others, to be caring and compassionate for their well-being without manipulating them, without expecting a return, and especially during these days, during the pandemic's limitations. During the pandemic, all of us have found it impossible to share hospitality with others, especially with family and friends. It's been a challenge at times. And it's been nearly impossible to share hospitality with strangers. One of the key things that the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, call us to do. Previous to the pandemic, a number of you took extra copies of the bulletin to share with those who couldn't attend worship. The visiting restrictions at many of our facilities has made this impossible. On special occasions, Christmas, Easter, but other times too, the church has traditionally organized delivery of food items or flowers to many people as a sign of remembering them, continuing our connection with them. The pandemic has almost made this impossible as well. You're familiar with the community care barrels in the foyer. Actually, I'm seeing one right at the back of the church here. For us as a church, this is an important means of supporting others in our community to ensure that they have enough to get by, that they have something to tide them over a tough time. The barrels are here. Where do they go? Well, they go to the community care organization. There's an arm's length. We donate, but we don't particularly have an expectation of the return on that. We give because we are called to be generous. Yet during the times we have not met here at the church for worship, you've had limited opportunity to drop off those items. But think about it. Multiply that over other churches and other organizations who also support that. And suddenly the community care shelves are empty, bare. And it comes at a time when the need is most there for others. The pandemic has also significantly slowed the process of sponsoring refugees from other parts of the world where violence and other hardships have had devastating effect on people's lives. The pandemic has put a damper on our ability to share the ministry of hospitality. It's limited the way we relate to others. And in our most recent experience, when we meet other people, what's the common first question or the first comment? Vaccinated or unvaccinated? Quickly becoming an issue for us. So over the past year and a half, we've had to face countless number of limitations on how we practice hospitality, how we share care and support in the lives of others and in our community. And it's been a challenge, testing the very core of who we are and who we as a society want to be. And we felt it keenly in almost every aspect of our lives. Theologian Christine Pohl writes, "We struggle. We struggle to find better ways to respond to homeless people, people with disabilities, immigrants, refugees. Questions about diversity and inclusion, boundaries and community challenge us daily. We search for more personal ways to respond to youth who are detached and alienated from family, school, and even church. In many ways, we feel as if we are strangers ourselves in our own families and churches. And we long for the bonds that give life and meaning. We long for the bonds that give life and meaning." As I said earlier, the pandemic, the things we've missed most deal with our relationships, our ability to be hospitable, those face-to-face gatherings. And so much of the Bible speaks of the importance of hospitality as central to our expression of faith in Jesus. Hospitality communicates care and compassion, the very thing God extends to us and which we are invited to share with others. And so in our giving and receiving, the act of true hospitality becomes the embodiment. It becomes the incarnation of God's desire to provide for us, to provide for all of us what we need to survive and thrive. It's how most people come to know, and I suspect in your experience too, how we come to know the love of God in Christ. During the global pandemic, everybody, the world over, everybody has had to learn to live, study, and work in new ways. We're all in this together. And while we are seeking new ways to share with family and friends, the unique call of Jesus is for us to also find new ways of sharing care and compassion for the poor, the vulnerable, and the needy of our community, the ones who cannot return the favor. We all long to be together with others. Now, I suspect there are people in your neighborhood, there are in mine, people who are hungry for the opportunity to talk, people who've been isolated during the pandemic, because we've all felt it. So if there has ever been a time for Christian witness of God's love for the world, the time is now. It's not about protesting against the health limitations and restrictions. It's about the opportunity to find new ways of sharing care and compassion for others. It's about God's love for others. It's not about myself. So just think of all the life transitions, the events of the past year and a half that haven't taken place or have had to be postponed. Child dedications, graduations. For young people, even getting their driver's license, that big monumental step. Weddings, funerals, the list goes on of things that have had to either be done differently or simply postponed or simply ignored. How might the act of God's care and compassion be offered to people longing for life to be different again? That's the $64,000 question. I don't have the answers. But next week, I want to invite us to continue the conversation with the theme, being hospitable again. Because as a Christian community, we've had to adapt to new ways of sharing care and support for one another. We've had to. In the days and months ahead, how might we as a church, as people of faith, realign our ministry, our efforts, to include new ways of sharing Jesus' love and compassion for others? When Jesus sat at the table of the prominent Pharisee, he implored them, it's all your family and friends and your rich neighbors, but what about the others in the community, those who can't return the favor? I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, the call of Jesus invites us to experience your forgiveness, your salvation, your new life in him because of what he has done for us. And time and again, his teaching comes back to invite us to experience that salvation on a daily basis, renewing our commitment to him, receiving the call to share in the lives of others as you have shared with us. Thank you for the challenges that we experience this day. A lot of times we simply don't like it, but help us to be creative. Help us to find new ways of expressing your love and compassion for the world, for which Jesus died and rose again and promised to be with us. These things we pray in his name. Amen. I invite the group to come and share with us again.
Free indeed, I'm a child.
chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me.
Thank you to the youth band for leading us in those songs. As we prepare to leave from our time of worship, ask you to remain seated. As has been our practice, invite the ushers who are ready at the back there to help us depart so that we can maintain our distance. We'll be starting at this side from the back, and please exit to the outside aisles and out, and then for this side first and then that side. So please bear with us. Thank you for your cooperation. These words of benediction as we leave from this time of worship. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And so go and anticipate that God will send angels your way. Share the grace of God with them and bless them on their way. Amen.